Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, where Jesus said to the crowd, "I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." So again, these words from Jesus are kind of out of character, at least as we are used to thinking about Jesus. And when we look at this word division, I mean, all you have to do is look at the news for 4 or 5 minutes, and you see that we live in a society that is very divided. Everything is divisive. And it's not just big things, right, like politics or gender or abortion rights or any of these big things, right? It's little things. It can be what you wear. It can be the food you eat. Anything you bring up, somebody's going to want to argue with you about it. And I think an example of that, that we're kind of that way now, is just looking at how many bumper stickers there are out there. I mean, have you ever seen, I mean, I've never seen so many bumper stickers in my life as when I moved here, okay? In Corvallis, they're just loaded with them. Now, in the 70s, I used to see bumper stickers too, right? But you know what the two biggest bumper stickers were in the 1970s? One was the yellow happy face. Remember that one? And the second one was, "Keep on trucking." What a positive, you know, message that is. Keep on trucking. Nowadays, it's just anger all the time. It's in your face. It's just very divisive. Just as a, you know, an experiment, I was just going to see the first two bumper stickers I saw driving to church today on 34. And I saw two. They were both on Subaru Foresters. Not saying anything about that car, but I'm just... I do happen to say they tend to have their fair share of bumper stickers in Corvallis. But anyway, two of them. One said, "I love carbs." And the other one said, "I'm gluten-free and I vote." I have no idea what that means. What being gluten-free has to do with voting, I just don't know. But that, you know, again, there you go. Now, some bumper stickers, of course, are humorous and you enjoy them. But for the most part, they just seem to be very divisive. And I did see one the other day that I agreed with it wholeheartedly. It was a bumper sticker that was just a quote. And the quote was, "Wow, that bumper sticker really changes my opinion on that topic." And then underneath it, it said, "No one ever." That I agree with. Because, I mean, how many people put a bumper sticker on their car in order to change someone's opinion? Right? I mean, do you think there's someone out there who puts a bumper sticker that says "Vote for Donald Trump" on the car, thinking Nancy Pelosi's going to come up driving behind and say, "Wow, I was completely wrong on this issue. I'm certainly voting for..." It's never going to happen. No one would ever think that, right? Or any other issue in the world. You don't do that. You're not putting a bumper sticker on your car to change people's opinions. You put a bumper sticker on your car to let them know what your opinion is. And how many times do you read a bumper sticker and you go, "Well, I got to speed up because I want to see what that person looks like." Right? I do it all the time, right? Oh, that's it. And that must be what they want, right? We want to give our opinion. We want to project our identity. Now, what a person's identity is very simple. Our identity is related to our relationship with causes or things or people in our lives. And all of us have a primary relationship. It's that relationship that's number one. That's really what defines us and makes us unique. Now, the fact that everybody has a different primary relationship, by and large, in our society, is the reason why there's so much division. We don't all agree on one thing. Now, that's just the ordinary average division and divisiveness we see around us. It's not what Jesus is talking about here. I mean, sure, people are going to have different opinions on politics and different opinions on social issues and different opinions on races and different opinions on all kinds of things. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a division that's caused by him. Although I do have to stress, he is not the one who created the division. Now, he likens this division to a fire, and he says, boy, he wishes it was already kindled. Now, it sounds like he's responsible for the division, doesn't it? If he wishes it was already kindled, it was already lit. And we do have to take this very seriously. This is talking about judgment. You heard the first lesson today, right? That's a cheerful one, isn't it, right? Oh, he's just hammering people, false prophets, for telling people good news. You have to tell the truth. Jesus tells the truth here. I read a number of liberal commentaries on this text that tried to rationalize what Jesus was saying, you know, because heaven forbid Jesus ever judges anybody, right? That can't possibly happen. He just agrees with everybody. And, oh, you're doing fine, and there's no such thing as sin. Well, it doesn't sound like this text to me. And so they said, well, fire in the Bible is also used as a metaphor for cleansing, for purifying, and for healing. And that's true. Not in this text, though. Just prior to this, if you look at the context, Jesus was warning people to be ready for when the master returned. Blessed is the one who's ready. If you're not ready, you're not blessed, because judgment is coming. Yes, this is judgment. But again, it's not a judgment. It's a judgment that's caused because of Jesus, but he didn't do it. He didn't create it. It's created by people. By people choosing a primary relationship that's not correct. There is only one primary relationship that's right. And that's the one that Jesus himself had. It was his relationship to his Father. He says, I have come from the Father. He says, the Father and I are one. He says, I do what I do to fulfill the will of my Father. The primary relationship is with the Father who created us, the Father who found us when we were sinners, the Father who redeemed us by the life of his own Son. That's the primary relationship we have. Now, Jesus says a very interesting thing here. It's very important we understand exactly what he's talking about. At the beginning where he says, I came to cast fire on the earth and wood that were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. He links the fire with this baptism. And we know what that baptism is. The baptism is his death on the cross. And when it says here, how great is my distress, synekomai is the Greek word. It's a powerful word. It means his entire being, every single day of his life leading up to the cross, was filled with distress because of that. Wishing it was already there. Wishing the time would be over. It's like if you're studying for a final, and you study and study and study and study, and that day is coming, and you just say, I can't wait. I don't even care if I fail. I just want to be over with. That's the feeling Jesus had. That's the fire he wanted to kindle. So in other words, when he's talking about judgment, firstly, he's not talking about the judgment of the world. He's talking about the judgment on himself. Now, when his listeners heard this, the people listening to this crowd, he's not addressing this to the religious leaders. He's not addressing it to his disciples. He's addressing it to the crowd. When they heard these words of judgment, they must have been very excited and said, fantastic, finally someone's going to do something about all these people who cause us division. There'll be judgment for the Romans and the Gentiles and the tax collectors and the prostitutes and the sinners and everybody that doesn't agree with us and has a different bumper sticker. Now they're going to get theirs. But Jesus points directly at them and says, I'm talking to you and I'm talking about you because your primary relationship is wrong. Jesus gave his life for those people. He took the judgment upon himself first. And then later, that judgment will be meted out on those who reject that gracious act. Now, the good news is Jesus has given us the faith to see the truth, to see that our primary relationship is with God. And like Jesus, that doesn't mean it negates every other relationship in our lives, does it? It didn't for Jesus. He still had a relationship with his disciples, with his family, with all the people who came to him who were sick. He loved them. He had a relationship with them. Not the primary relationship. That was with his father. But that primary relationship defined all the other relationships. And that's how it is with us. We love our children not because they are the center of our world, because they're not. The Father is, who gives us a love for the children, who calls us to love them, and gives us the power to love them. He's number one. We seek justice for those who are downtrodden and hurt. Not because it's the most important thing in the world, because it is not. The Father is the most important. And he's the one who calls us to live in justice towards others. And now he gives us this truth that we cling to in faith. To see a relationship, not that we created, but one that God created with us. We see that's a relationship of a God who loved us in creating us, who sought us out as he sought out Adam and Eve when they sinned and ran away, and who redeemed us along with Adam and Eve by Jesus' death on our behalf. That's our truth. And God calls us to live in that truth, to rejoice in that truth, and to proclaim that truth to a world that does not want to hear it, and in a world where it will cause division more and more every day. If you can't see that, then you're just not looking. And that's here in America. It's going to increase. Always will, always has. And yet we still proclaim that truth. Why? It causes division. That's not nice. Keep in mind, entire church bodies right now are rejecting that. Saying we can't say these things because it does cause division. All I can tell you is I don't think they read our Old Testament recently or what Jesus says in this gospel. We proclaim the truth that Jesus Christ looked to the Father, and he is our primary relationship as well. We tell that truth not only because it is true and the Father tells us to, but because we know that in the darkness of this world that will lash out at us for telling this truth, there are people who are lost, who are struggling, and people who are the lost sheep of God. He has to bring them back. And we have to tell them about a Father who created them and loves them and forgives them. We have to reach out to, in the darkness with our light. And I pray that the Lord bless us in doing so. In Jesus' name, amen.